So that's the message that I'm going to share with you this morning. It's about something that is better than happiness. And actually, that's from the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Because the book of Philippians, remember last week, is about joy. Joy from within. And that's why we're going to start the epistle of Philippians today. Amen? And I want you to turn your Bible with me in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. But let's open a word of prayer this morning. Father, we believe that all scriptures are all inspired by you, Lord, and it's breathed in by you. And we ask your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts as we open your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Well, back in 1996, we went to back east in Philadelphia. And one place that we visited there is a place called Independence Hall. How many of you have been to Independence Hall? All right, there's quite a few here. And that's where the forefathers of this nation have signed a document of Declaration of Independence, right? And it's amazing how this document, that when we look at it, we read there's the word that says there, we hold this truth to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That's among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So there's even there in that statement, even it's being stated there that the third phrase that caught my eyes is life. Life, yes, we understand because we have life. And that liberty and the pursuit of happiness. So we actually have it in our Declaration of Independence. And we, as American, we are going to be happy people. Amen. The pursuit something suggests that it's outside of us. That is somewhere out there needing to be discovered or caught. But happiness doesn't come from without. It comes from within. And way back some probably 224 years ago, we as American, we are going to pursue happiness. That we're going to go after happiness. And okay, a lot of times, time has passed, and as we are happy people, are we happy people? Amen? By and large, I would say no. I was watching a TV the other night about those riots in Berkeley, and people are mad and are angry. And they are trying to destroy everything that they can put their hands on. And there is a news that long time ago, an article in the newspaper that says, why do we feel so bad when we have it so good? In that article, they asked, why Americans so depressed? Why do more Americans go to psychologists and psychiatrists than any other people in the world?
Why do Americans have more teenagers committing suicide than any other group in the whole world? Why are we so depressed? The issue went and cited some trend in our country, like the alarming loss of values, the absence of absolute and meaning in contemporary life. So this issue went on and cited some of our alarming loss of values. So what's the problem? Why in large it boils down to this? We are seeking to be happy, but we are going to find it in a wrong way. Because for most people, their happiness is entirely depending on good things happen. In other words, you are happy if you accomplish something. You are happy when you accomplish accumulated something. You are happy if you escape from something that is troubling you. One time I was playing with another brother the game of chess. How many of you play that? I was happy when I beat him. But then the next game he beat me. Now I'm not happy. I was happy when I beat him again, and then he beat me. I'm unhappy. So you see, happiness depended on our accomplishment. When I was winning, I was happy. When I was losing, I was unhappy. So you can take this in a broader application in life. When things is going right, I'm happy. When the career is going well, I'm happy. When it's not going well, I'm unhappy. Or when you get a new toy, I'm happy. When the career is going well, I'm happy. When I'm not talking about the kids, you know, kids, they have their own toy, but the old people have their own toys. And it's only challenged by how much you pay for that toys. I saw that the guy in front of us where we live, he plays his toys probably every Wednesday or Thursday. You know what he do? He fly that drone in front of our house. I was thinking maybe he's looking for something because it goes across the street and then it goes to the wash. And I said, one time I went there and said, you know what? You have a nice helicopter or something. He said, no, this is drone. Oh, wow. I said, how much he pay for that? You know how much he pay for that drone? It's about $1,500. And he said, there's a camera. Oh, my gosh. See, these are the toys that the old people have. And they are happy because they are really, really enjoying himself. But the same thing with car. You know, you want a fast car. I want a fast car that drives 200 miles per hour. But where are you going? Why do you want a 200? And then you go to a racetrack and you just go around and around. You're not going anywhere. So that's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8. Do we have that one there? Solomon said, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So no matter what you saw, but you want to see more. I want to hear more. Never enough. Right? Never enough. I remember when I married Rose, we bought our first stereo system. And it has a cassette tape player with a reverb. I don't know if you hear about a reverb. Now you want to hear a CD player. So you go down to Best Buy and look for this stereo system. And the salesman will tell you, oh, you get this TV too, TV set that goes with your stereo, because your TV will sounds good with this this sound system. It requires your surround sound system. So we go home, we set it up. We are so happy that, you know. But then our neighbor says, Ed, I want you to come and look at my ULED TV. I mean, what is ULED? Does anybody of you know it, ULED? This ultra light, I don't know. To 3D, there's a 3D, but it's an ultra, I don't know. So you buy this, and then pretty soon your neighbor have a better, your projection TV, you know, this TV that has a big back, like a, it's an absolute, you don't even, I don't know if they even sell that projection TV. You have that ultra, it's a thin TV, and it's LED, and it has a 3D. Man, it never stopped. Right? And then you're so happy, but then new model comes in. No, you're not happy. And to apply this in life in general, your happiness will flow in the event that unfold your life. So you will say, what is the answer? The answer is to not try to chase after this kind of happiness that I just described, because you will always come up empty. The problem is this kind of happiness that I have described is forget one very important element, one every important person. And that is who? That is God. That is God. See, if you ex God in our life, in your life, you will not be happy. And that brings us to the book of Philippians. Because this book that offers something better, it's better than happiness. Something that can only experience by a child of God. It is called joy. And we see a lot, joy. What does the meaning of joy say? J is for Jesus, and then O for ours, for others, and Y, it's you. See, the joy only comes when you put God first, and then others, and then you. So as we study this epistle of Philippians, we're going to discover how we can live so that our happiness is not dependent on what happens to us. Instead, it streams from the deep inner joy. Amen? Joy is a dominant theme that runs through the book, the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. The Philippians people are so joyful. They are so full of joy. And that when we are done with the study of Philippians, you know what? You can see Zoe is a joyful girl. By the time she came in, and probably the same thing in the house, she bring joy. And so we study this joy, the innermost that will initiate from our innermost. Because when Paul wrote the book that we are about to read, he was not living in an ivory tower. He was not living in Taj Mahal. He is inside the prison. And he was in extreme discomfort. He is in prison for his faithful proclamation of the gospel. He was in chain. He was in chain by the Roman guard. For Paul, it is difficult to endure. But because he is a go-getter, he is a doer, he is a guy that wants to get the job done. For him to be immobilized, for him to be stuck in a place and get out there, for him is very, very frustrating for him. So as we look up that the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, we can see that Paul, when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Again, I will say rejoicing. So he mentioned more than that. Those are the only few things that he brings in his theme. Now, a couple of questions, Numi, arise in your mind, and we hear this. Number one, he says, how could be Paul positive or excited, so joyful in such adverse circumstances? And number two, is this something I can experience? And if so, how do I get it? So those are a couple of questions that you may ask. How can I experience this joy? Does any one of you would like to experience the joy that Paul has? So let me answer the second question first. Yes, you can experience it, and I'm going to tell you how. This joy that Paul is talking is not something that is uniquely available to first century believers only. It is also available to us, the 21st century believers. And there is an important element that we also find running through the book of Philippians that tells us how we can experience this joy. It is the word minds. Paul uses the word minds 10 times in this epistle. And the word think 5 times. And that the times he uses the word remember, and you will have a total of 16 references to the mind. So this is a reminder to all of us. So in other words, the secret of Christian joy is found in the way believer thinks, the believer perception. It's found in the way the believer perceive. No one can wave a magic wand makes your problems go away, right? We are going to have our problems. We are going to have a conflict with people. We are going to have difficulties in our life. So what are we going to do? We are going to look in a different way. If we want to be joyful, that is not the suggest that Paul advocating mind over matter or power of the positive thinking. No, this is something more theologically sound, something more realistic, something that is very applicable. It is a way how we look at things. Because the way how we look at things, that's the way how we respond to things happening to our life. Right? Amen? The way how we look at things, the way how we perceive things, the way how we respond to things is the way how we think of those things. Right? Amen? So, Paul is saying to us that if we want to live happily and joyfully in harmony with other people, we need to apply the principles that we are going to find from the epistle of Philippians. And it starts off by reminding us the fact that we must come in God's term. The first few verses of the book of Philippians are the door we must walk through. If you don't walk through this open doorway, then you're not going to experience the joy that is found in it. There are some clear conditions to experience this joy. There's a lot of people who want to get the goodies of Christian life without giving in their part. They want to have the benefits. They want the blessing, but they don't want to meet the criteria. So, are you in the book of Philippians now? In verse 1 of Philippians, I'm going to read it, verse 1 to verse 6. Are you all there? Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, not Philippines, who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Before we go on, notice the partnership that Paul has with the Philippians. And the reason why we support church in the Philippines, because even though we are not going there, but we are in partnership with them. Amen. That's why we support church pastors in the Philippines. We support the orphanage in the Philippines, because we are in partnership. This is what Paul is saying. We are in partnership in Christ Jesus, because we are supporting each other. Amen? So verse 3, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. I always pray with joy for all you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure to this, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So, it can be easily read that the verse is a must and a foundational truth, not only to understand and appreciate the book, but to rest of the New Testament. Because the opening statement of the life for joy is that you must be the saint. If you want to be joyful, you must be saint. Right? But you don't have to live in Philippi. You can be a saint in Highland. You can be saint in Riverside. Or you can be saint in Redlands. Or Bloomington, or Fontana. Saint for wherever you live. Well, that rolls me out. I'm not saint. That is because we don't understand what the word means. In our modern uses, the word saint is something that we reserve only for the most holy people. Right? We think, I understood that saint are only for those who have done a number of good works. Like Mother Teresa. She has done a lot of work, of good works. How about that new Filipino priest that was canonized? Have you heard that? Is anybody of you? Huh? No, Father Pio is Spanish. See? We think that to be canonized, to be called saint, is to do number of works. But to Paul, or the Bible says that to be a saint, the meaning of saint, that you have been set apart for God's purpose. You are a saint not because you did a good job, because you have number of works done. The Bible talks about saints is that when God take you out and set you apart for his purpose, right? That's what we call, the Bible says that you are a saint, right? Can we agree with that? Okay, so you are a saint if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because God will set you up. Take you out from the world and put you here for a purpose, for the ministry God has called you to do. Amen? And every Christian who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are saints, because they had been set apart. You respond to the conviction that the Holy Spirit has in your life. You had been set apart, set aside for for a purpose of the Lord. Right? So the word sins speaks of a true believer. Right? It's another word that could interchange the word Christian. Right? Amen? So you're a saint. Right? Turn to the person next to you and point your finger to him. You are a saint. You're a saint, sister. You're a saint. Amen? Saint Paul or Saint Rinaldo or Saint Marie. Saint Santa Barbara. Amen? You're a saint. If you're a true believer, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life. Huh? This is very important because there are people today that want the blessing of Christian life without anything on their part given in exchange of it. So, we want to be happy and if possible, joyful, but we want in our way, in our own way. We want the comfort, we want the happiness, but we want in our own term. Right? We just want gifts, but not the giver. We want the blessing, but not the blesser. But Paul's saying is that you cannot live that way. Right? You cannot live that way. Amen? Because when you receive the Lord, you become, it's not your own. Maybe you're the saying that song, "You don't own me." You hear that song? Right? When you receive the Lord, the world doesn't own you. You don't own me. The word is, amen? So if you want to experience the promise of joy found in Philippians, you must first be what? First, you must be a saint. In order to be saint, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life. Amen? He said that there is not half-hearted believers. To live is Christ, and to what? To die is gain. It's all or nothing. Right? For Christ, it's all or nothing. If you are half-half, don't even care. Because God wants you. Wants your life. Amen? To live in is Christ and to die is gain. But, Brother Ed, that's crazy. To die is gain? There is nobody gaining if you die. Right, David? You're not gaining if you die. Right? But to those who don't believe in God, life on earth is all there is. We think that this is it. Right? There's no more. But the real life is that when you die, that's where your real life is. Amen? How could Paul confidently say that dying would be even better than living? Because in death, he would be removed from the worldly trouble. And he would see Christ face to face. Man, that is my desire, to see him face to face. How about you? Your desire is to see Jesus Christ face to face. What Paul is saying is that he is content whatever stage he is in. His contentment is not coming from what he had, but rather it was coming from who he knew. His contentment is not what he has here. His contentment is that he has the perception of eternity. See, if your perception of eternity is what we have here, then we missed. Amen? And listen to this. Listen, God always finishes what he started. He never leaves something half done as man does.
this verse is speaking to me. We move in Bloomington, and the first day that we move in, I started a retainer wall. And the wall is not about that high. The wall is about that deep. I started that from the time we moved into our house, and until now, still there. It never completed. But to tell you, God, whatever He started, He's able to finish it. Amen? God is going to bring into completion that which He has begun in your life. Amen? So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God has started a work, and God will indeed finish it. Look at the word, He began, and the word complete in verse 6. They represent opposite end, or if you will, the book ends of life. The one who started this work will finish it. That should bring joy in our heart. Amen? God is going to complete His work on you. There might be lapses. There might be some time that you stumble and fall. There might be time that you feel like you're not making progress at all. But if you are applying yourself, God will complete the work in your life. This word complete can be translated to perfect or finish. Now when it's that going to happen, when I'm going to reach the stage of perfection, well, I tell you one thing. It's not going to happen in this side of heaven. Amen? Even Paul said in chapter 3, verse 12, not I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. See, whatever it said, Paul is saying, press on to keep going and going. Amen? Essentially, Apostle Paul is saying, you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep growing and you have to keep learning. There's always so far to go in God's kingdom, unstoppable resources. Keep on going, because the Bible is full of that. And every time you read the Bible, it will reveal to you new things. Things that you have not seen before. Amen? Things that you have not experienced before. Keep on pressing on and reading it and knowing Christ. Amen? Keep learning. This is always far. It's always going. So when I'm going to reach perfection, when I stand face to face with Jesus Christ, that's the only time that we reach perfection. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that it is what we are. And that this will bring us to joy. Amen? So let me close this by saying that if we are here this morning and are not joyful person, maybe you came with some crisis in your life right now. Troubles at home, troubles with kids, troubles with husband, the wife and the in-laws and the out-laws, troubles at work, physical troubles, aches and pain for being old. The doctor could not cure. Maybe there's other troubles facing you right now. Or maybe things are doing is reasonably well right. In fact, it is doing well that you cannot figure out why are you so miserable. Everything okay in your life, but the most part there is the sort of emptiness inside of you. A lot of people are so much assets and cash in their fund, but they are miserable. Amen? So why are you not joyful?
Why? Because your happiness is depend on good things happening. God promises you a deep-seated joy that it could be with you no matter what you have been going through. Have you experienced that? No matter what you're going through, but there is that innermost deep joy in your life. That joy can only be found if you are a saint. How do you become a saint? First of all, you have to admit that you are a sinner. Then you come to God, sorry for your sin, willing to turn from it and put your complete faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And He will pardon you and forgive you every sin that you ever committed. He will make saint or true believer, and you can start experiencing these promises of joy that we have been talking about. Have you done that yet? Have you asked Christ to come to your life? Do you for certain that your sin has been forgiven? If not, would you like it to be? It can happen for you this morning. As we close in prayer, I would give you an opportunity for you to make a commitment or commitment for Jesus Christ. How many of you of us now this morning that would like to be a saint and experience the joy unspeakable? Amen? Shall we all stand? And shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your promises to us. We thank you for this great promise of joy that we can experience in you alone. But yet, there are some here that may not know you in this way. They might not know you, your forgiveness. They might not know you on what it is to have joy and peace and happiness in this chaotic world. Lord, would you help them to see their needs for you and help them to come to you? With all of our heads are bowed down and eyes are closed, how many of you would say this morning, "Hey, Ed, pray for me. I'm not a happy person, but I want to be. I want Jesus Christ to forgive of my sin, and I want Him to come to my heart right now." Is there anybody here this morning that are not happy of their lives going on right now, and you want to be? If there is anybody here this morning with your eyes closed, just raise your hand and or look at me. And I will pray with you this morning. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have touched the heart of my sister, Lord. And her desire, Lord, is to experience the joy unspeakable. The joy that only you, Lord, can give. The joy that it's eternal. Not just the joy that we have, but the joy that is for the rest of her life, Father God. You know her, Lord God. And Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to touch her, even right now, Lord. And help her, Lord, and guide her in her life, in her journey of being a saint. And Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that enlighten us, Lord, of what we need at this present stage, Lord. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Can we call worship team.